Today on Rainbow Country, Jason Roy from Big Brother and Big Brother OTT Over the Top. My exit interviews from Big Brother Canada continues. This week, Bruno Aiello. And the music from LGBT recording artists from around the world. Stay tuned for Gay Talk Radio Toronto Style, right here on Rainbow Country.
Hi, I'm Mayor John Tory, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
No matter who you are, no matter what you do, everyone has a story to tell. And right here on this LGBT show is where it all starts. We lift our voices, share our stories, and we'll raise our pride. After all, we've come a long way since 1969 and the Stonewall riots, to the legalization of same-sex marriage, to the recognition of trans equality. I'm Mark Tara. Join me on this journey through Rainbow Country. CIUT 89.5 FM. This is Rainbow Country, the station's gay radio show, giving voice to the LGBT community. I am your tour guide through Rainbow Country. I'm Mark Tara. A little bit about me. I am an LGBT content creator. I'm also a recording artist. Get social. Get interactive on social media. On Twitter, on Instagram, Facebook, at Mark Tara Music. Follow me, I will follow you back. Want to send me an email? You want to be a guest on the show? You have an idea? You have a concept? Send me an email, mark@marktara.com. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes as well as on podomatic.com. And again, thanks to you, Rainbow Country on Podomatic's gay and lesbian chart is in the top five once again. And that's thanks to you. And again, everything is hooked up through my website, marktara.com, marktara.com. So, some very sad news today. Gilbert Baker, the designer of the Pride flag, an American artist and gay rights activist, passed away at the age of 65. Gilbert Baker designed the symbol of the LGBT community in 1978. Friends encouraged him to design a banner for marches and other occasions. His friends included gay rights activist Harvey Milk. The flag was first unveiled in 1978 on June 25th. Again, American artist and LGBT rights activist Gilbert Baker passed away at the age of 65, and he will be missed. Just imagine when you walk around in any, you know, gay village, pretty much anywhere in the world, and you see that rainbow flag, that's his doing. He will be missed. So let's switch gears. CIUT's spring membership drive begins May 8th to the 14th. CIUT is celebrating 30 years on the FM dial. 30 years. That's pretty darn cool. And that's all thanks to you keeping this radio station on the air. So if you'd like to make a donation, head over to CIUT.FM and make a donation to the station. Donations of $25 or more, you automatically get a charity tax receipt. So, this is episode 46. On this episode, my Big Brother Canada 5 exit interviews continue today. We will hear from Bruno Aiello. I'll also be talking live on the phone with Jason Roy, who was on Big Brother 17, as well as the runner-up of Big Brother Over the Top, Big Brother OTT. We'll also hear music from LGBT recording artists from around the world. So my friends, this journey through Rainbow Country begins right now with Big Brother Canada.
Hi, this is Carol Pope on CIUT 89.5 FM.
How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
You know what? I'm doing good for the circumstances. I'm doing as good as I can, for sure.
So, Bruno, you walk into the Big Brother Canada house and you realize that season 5 will be a season of returning players and newbies, so to speak. When you first realized this, Bruno, what went through your mind?
You know what? It was an interesting reaction because I never would have guessed it would have been 8 vets and 8 newbies. I had different theories going in my head going in, like if it was internationals and other things like that. But I never would have guessed 8 newbies and 8 returnees. But I did think, okay, we're going to have our hands full. We're going to have big targets on our back going in because I knew that the vets would be going for vets. Some wouldn't trust each other and the newbies would be going for the vets. So I felt like right off the start, the game was amped up and it was game time right away.
So you were part of the 6 alliance, which included 5 veterans and Dimitri, who's a newbie, so to speak. Why was it so hard, Bruno, for the veterans to be loyal to each other? Why was that so difficult?
Yeah, that's a great question. The way I saw it was, you know, we had Netta working our side, and we had Aika working the other side. The problem is the 2 females couldn't get along. They couldn't see eye to eye on things. And it really put a crack and a divide into our alliance. You know, I knew once Netta's immunity came up that they wanted to take a shot at her for sure. And I think the feud between Netta and Aika actually bonded Aika and Dre a lot closer. And it was getting to the point where I felt Aika was closer to them than she was to us. And I think that's where the divide started.
So, Bruno, in the house, you were talking about knowing when your head got out of the game. Your second consecutive week on slop, like day 20-something.
That's right.
Do you think ultimately, Bruno, that that's the reason why you got evicted from the Big Brother Canada house?
You know what? I think it played a part in it. It was day 22. I'll never forget it. It's when I did my second consecutive week on slop. You know, here's the thing is I think slop is very underrated in the game. It is a huge factor because when you're not eating, you're emotionally drained, you're physically drained, and you're mentally drained. So I felt like my social game was going pretty good up until that point. Then when you get to that point, I didn't want to talk to people. I want to say your patience level is down a bit. And you just want to be alone. You don't want to. And the thing is, in that house, you have to maintain relationships. That's a key part of the game, is maintaining your relationships and a social game. And not having any food in me, you know, you're just drained. And you don't want to hear people's stories. The ones that when your belly's full and you're mentally, you're mentally there, you can put up with their stories. But when you're not there mentally, you just don't want to hear it. And I think that was a big factor in where it started going downhill. It's just I wasn't able to maintain my social game when I wasn't eating.
So, Bruno, yourself, and Kevin Martin, you guys were close in the house. Would you ultimately have taken Kevin Martin to the final two?
100%. It could have been myself, Kevin, and Karen, and if I had the choice to choose one, I would have taken Kevin to the end. He was my ride or die. That's the way I am. I'd rather lose beside Kevin than win beside Karen, but I definitely would have taken Kevin to the end 100%.
So my last question for you, Bruno, who would you like to see win Big Brother Canada 5?
Without a doubt in my mind, Kevin. He's the guy I want to see win. You know, I do respect Ika and Dimitri, and I'd like to see one of them win. I feel like they've played the game a lot, too. They've been playing hard this season, and they're deserving. But Kevin is my pick. I really want to see him win.
Well, Bruno, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very, very much. It's been a pleasure.
And welcome back. You're listening to CIUT's gay radio show, Rainbow Country. And I'm your host, Mark Tara. So that was my Big Brother Canada exit interview with Bruno Aiello. Don't forget, you can see Big Brother Canada Mondays and Wednesdays at 9 p.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. on Global TV. When I return, Jason Roy from Big Brother. Stay with me.
This is City Councillor Kristen Wong Tam, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
So, he was on Big Brother 17 and the runner-up of Big Brother Over the Top, Jason Roy. Jason, are you there?
I am. Hi, how are you, Mark?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing great.
So, I understand, Jason Roy, that you are now on the West Coast of America?
I am. You know, the runners-up money for OTT was not too bad, so I made the move across the country and said, okay, I might, you know, you can waste all the money sitting where you were and doing the same old nothing, or you can try to change your life. So, yeah, I just moved to the West Coast like a month ago, and I'm loving it.
So whereabouts are you? California?
I am right in the city. I am right in Los Angeles.
Well, are you in the gay village?
No, I am not in the gay village. The gay village is way too overpriced out here, girl. That's the truth, G.
Honey, I hear you. It's the same way here in Toronto.
Well, you know how it goes.
So, Jason, let's get to know you kind of like from the ground up. Let's talk about where you grew up. Talk about that for me.
I am from Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. I was born in Fall River, Massachusetts, which we're really not known for anything other than Lizzie Borden.
Okay.
So, I mean, a murderer is not usually the nice rep you want. I grew up in Swansea, Massachusetts, which is a suburb, and I had a pretty normal upbringing. Obviously, I was a super fan of Big Brother for years and reality TV. Obviously, I'm sort of the generation that was raised by television and by, you know, the screeching AOL sign-on tones.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a really nice upbringing for the most part.
Yeah.
I did a lot of theater and stuff, which I think is things that you end up using later when you are doing, say, a reality show where you're about, like, lying to other people. So, yeah, I had to feel like I have a pretty normal upbringing.
Yeah.
And even a pretty normal coming out story. And yeah, I've had it pretty well.
So you just mentioned you were in theater. What were you, an actor?
I was. In second grade, all of a sudden I decided that I wanted to be in a play, and
okay.
I was Tiny Tim in A Christmas Carol. And
Tiny
from then
Tim.
Yes, honey, he was out here with the cripple crush and everything. So after that, I just sort of did theater for the next decade or so until I got into a couple of years into high school.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, so I have definitely dabbled with all that.
So
and I did a guest spot in The Bold and the Beautiful, and I was like, I can't act. Let's see how this goes, honey. But it was fine.
That was from your stint on Big Brother 17?
Yes. a lot every year, some of the Big Brother people will make some appearances on the Bold and Beautiful, and it's a really great opportunity. It's fun.
And who were you on there with?
Oh, I was on there just sometimes there's a bunch of people in an episode, but I was all by my lonesome. I was a pizza boy that was coming in hitting on a girl in lingerie.
Really?
The irony. Yes, the irony, honey.
That was a stretch for you, Jason Roy. So talk to me about your sense of humor, because you have an amazing dry wit. You have a tongue on you that will cut you.
I have a son.
That will cut you in a New York minute. Where do you mm-hmm. think you got your sense of humor from, Jason Roy? Because that was, I'm a big fan of Big Brother, but I love the live feeds because to me that's where the show is, right?
That's real Big Brother, honey.
Exactly.
You know, cramming it into an hour, you're never going to really know the game.
Exactly.
But when you watch those feeds, honey, you're there in it.
But on the feeds, you would come across and the things that you would say would be hilarious and also eye-opening. But where do you think you got that sense of humor from, Jason?
You know, I think that I am just the truth form of unfiltered. I am not usually highly emotional, and I'm not really affected by the things. I wouldn't take anything people say to me personally.
Right.
I'd take everything as a joke. And actually, I think one of the things I may do in life, figuring out on who I get along with and not, if you can make fun of someone and they're going to take that and just make fun of you back and not be offended. So I think my sense of humor is sometimes very Kathy Griffin, Lisa Lampanelli, below the belt, and, you know, not very PC all the time. But I think that there's nothing wrong with being a bit bold and being a bit, you know, over the line or on the edge sometimes, because someone's got to push the boundaries. And I think that, the sense of humor, you don't really know where it comes from. But I would say that my family, we have some funny people in them, and mm-hmm. but I would say that my sense of humor is completely different than all theirs. But, I don't know. It's just one of those things, I guess.
Yeah. Was your mom or dad funny in any particular way?
I find both of my parents funny, but they're funny in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
My mother is probably more of a slapstick clown,
mm-hmm.
and my dad is a little bit more dry, but I'm a little bit in between with a lot of self-deprecating,
yeah.
which a lot of people every time will say, oh, no, don't do that. Don't speak about yourself like that. But I feel like if you can't make fun of yourself, then you can't make fun of anything.
Yeah. Yeah, because the thing about watching you was that you would definitely dish it out, but as well mm-hmm. as dishing it out, you sort of took it out on yourself as well.
Oh, of course. I feel like if you can't dish it out without
turning it back on yourself.
Exactly. You know, you have to realize that you're just as crazy as everybody else in this house.
Yeah.
And all the things that you can be saying about them, they can or should be saying about you. So you might as well, you have to, you know, almost out-of-body experience to realize that we're all, no one is, this is the thing about Big Brother, we like to make people the villains and the heroes. No one is a villain or a hero. Everyone's there trying to win some money,
mm-hmm.
which kind of makes us villains all in the first place. So it's just one of those things where, but everyone in the world has a different level of appropriate senses of humor, and what words may be okay and what words may not be okay. But yeah, I am just the rawest form of even it life, honey.
So Jason, stay on the line. We're going to take a quick little break, but stay on the line because we'll continue our talk about Big Brother.
Of course.
Okay, stay on the line. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Segato, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
And welcome back. You're listening to CIUT's gay radio show, Rainbow Country. And joining me on the phone is Jason Roy from Big Brother fame. Hey.
Yep.
So Jason, let's get to know your story in regards to Big Brother. How did you get turned on to this particular show, Big Brother? How did that happen for you?
I remember watching the very, very first season of Big Brother. I remember I was really into Survivor. In Big Brother, it was sort of the next thing that came out right then. And so I remember the very first season. I could still name every house guest on it and what order they went home. You know, I don't consider myself a super...
Was that the season with the guy with the one leg?
Yes, Eddie, the guy with the one leg that won. So, yes, I have grew up on this show, and it's been, you know, sometimes in middle school and high school, it may have been my in-the-closet dirty secret of what I was obsessed with. But as I got older, I was just even more obsessed, and sort of when I became the age where I could start applying to be on the show, I went from, you know, watching it for years, I never really thought that I would even maybe want to be on it. It was just an enjoyable show to watch that I liked the concept of.
Right.
But as I got older and really became the age where I could start applying, I then started to really study it, and I watched it all over again quite a few times. Mm-hmm. I started watching the UK version and the Australian version, which is why I was so thrilled when Canada came out with their version, because I was like, there's never enough, Big Brother. Keep it coming, honey. So I really buckled down and studied hard for a good 2 years, and then it sort of all came about so crazily that I said, oh my God, I can't believe I'm actually like going to get on this show.
So did you apply just once and you got right on?
I applied for season 15, mm-hmm. Bullet Dodge, honey, because that season is a mess.
That was the one with all the racist stuff?
That was the one that had like the bit of the racist drama. And Andy was the gay man on that season. And, you know, as much
won.
As we hope there isn't a, you know, ratio for shows, usually there's not that many spots. So I wasn't going to be no cute little ginger redhead with a sassy wit himself. So I did not even hear anything back.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, also I have fans that email me and ask me, oh, my God, like, how do I get on, but do you have tips? And I always tell them, don't look desperate. You want them to know that they want you on the show. You don't need to be on the show. They need you to be on their show.
Great point.
So I think you just have to go there with that confidence that you're the shit. Oop, excuse me.
Girl, you can say whatever you want on the show.
Oh, okay. Girl, I don't know. He ain't from Canada. I don't know how it works. Honey, he ain't trying to get y'all in trouble for nothing. But yeah, I feel like, what were we talking about? So I applied for season 15 mm-hmm. and didn't hear anything back, but Bullet Dogs, because it was messiness. But I also say to people, sometimes you need the years to mature. You know, I applied when I was 23. I moved out of my mom's house when I was 20 years old and lived with strippers for 2 years and then moved back into my mother's basement. And I applied right when I had just first moved back.
Okay.
So sometimes you need time to settle in. And it was better that when I ended up applying for season 17, I didn't apply for 16, but I wouldn't have beaten Frankie Grande anyway, honey. Mm-hmm. So again, no problems there. And I went to an open casting call because Derek had won season 16. Mm-hmm. They came to a place in Rhode Island, which is basically my backyard. And I went to a casino there and I kind of just yelled over everyone and made sure that they realized that the reason they came to Rhode Island was to meet me.
Mm.
Everyone, you know, and they asked all these questions to people in groups. I answered every person's question after them with a better answer. They asked them, like, healthy guy next to me to take your shirt off. Honey, I ripped my little shirt off, too. Like, I will do anything to make you know that I'm the person you came here to know this.
Hmm. Wow, so you were aggressive.
Yeah, I feel like...
you wanted it.
You have to go there knowing that not only that you want it, that they should want you.
Mm-hmm.
That if they don't pick you, then, yeah, oh, well, they're missing out.
Sure.
You have to go there knowing that you're the baddest, or someone else there is going to outshine you because they might have woke up with that confidence that day.
Right.
And I'm not saying you have to be that confident. I'm just saying you got to pretend to be that confident.
So what is it about Big Brother that attracts you? Why that particular show and not, say, like you mentioned, Survivor?
I mean, I am still a watcher of Survivor now. I sort of fell off for years of Survivor, but, mm-hmm. you know, now I have friends. You meet all these people in the reality TV community, so I know some of these people that have done Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it a bit more fun to watch. And, you know, the irony in that is now I know some of my favorite Big Brother people ever, and I, like, have their phone numbers, and I'm like, whoa, 10-year-old Jason would be, like, freaking out right now. But,
But why but why Big Brother in particular? What attracted you to that?
You know, I don't really know, but it is the it really is a pure form of a social like psychological experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the season that, you know, the America is voting on stuff and it's not so strategy driven.
Right.
And you know, the very first season is very experimental in how these people are going to react to being locked together for this long.
Mm-hmm.
We have all these other reality shows. You know, the real world kids are out drinking at bars every night and going off to jobs, and you know, there's drama to be had. That's like normal life, and of course you're going to come across drama.
Yeah.
But when you really lock people in this, you know, microcosm society, and you say, okay, we're leaving you here for 101 days. And, like, let's just see what happens. And all these other shows, I can't imagine being on a reality show where I saw the camera. That's a foreign concept to me.
Right.
You know, production has, you know, 30 people, a guy with a clipboard, a guy with a boom mic, a guy
right.
holding a light.
And they follow you around.
You never see those things in Big Brother.
Right.
You have cameras on the walls that sort of make some noise, and you have mirrors everywhere. But you really don't know what they're filming.
Right.
You really can't say, put on a show or do anything knowing that you're going to get the camera, because you don't even know if the camera's on you most of the time.
Right.
So I think it really is just interesting, and it's different than every other reality show out there. And yet every season we have new pathways of how the game can be played. Nobody has really cracked the code yet, because, you know, one person does it this season, everyone is now split to it the next season. So it's really forever evolving, and I love that.
You know, what I find really interesting about Big Brother in particular, it has, you can literally watch it unfold live if you wanted to through the live feeds.
And I was a live feeder for years.
Yes, and that to me is the hook of the show, the fact that you can literally watch this show happen live. And
we are hamsters. It's a cage.
Yes.
And you can come tap the cage or just poke in and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
It is beautiful. But it is sort of strange because, you know, Davon is a good friend of mine. She was on Big Brother 18,
mm-hmm.
so I did a lot of feed watching that, and
mm-hmm.
it's sort of funny to be there with your friends,
yes.
and but not be there.
Yes.
And that's how I feel when I watch these feeds for Big Brother Canada 5 this year, because I've really really met most of these alumni. I think the only person I haven't met was Gary, which unfortunately, because I would love to meet Gary.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just sort of funny to be peeking in on their lives, too.
Yes. So let's talk about your Big Brother 17 experience. You said that you studied, you know, Australia and all this sort of stuff, and then you went into the Big Brother 17 house. And what happened, Jason Roy? Because you went out early, so to speak. You didn't make the
yeah.
jury section, but as
yeah.
a connoisseur of the show, what happened to you inside the Big Brother 17 house?
Big Brother 17. I connected with a lot of people in that house,
mm-hmm.
and I really made some genuine bonds. And I lost sight of the game part of it a little bit. I was thinking, I'm not going to game until we get to, you know, a jury stage. I'm not going to game until there's still 15 people here. What are y'all, crazy?
Mm-hmm.
But I was on a very steroid season, as most of them are now, because everyone is quite versed in what they're getting themselves into. I think that there was a lot of strong gaming at the very beginning of 17,
mm-hmm.
and I was a loudmouth that was not afraid to call out the Twins or that. So I think really where it turned is me and Devon figured out the Twins, did not use it to our advantage, instead thought, let's do mob mentality. Let's tell everyone and they'll get their pitchforks out. But, you know, there's better game players there at this point, and they realize, no, we're not going to get our pitchforks out. We're going to weaponize the twist. The trick to Big Brother every season is you always weaponize the twist. Don't fight it. If you think the twist doesn't work for you, make it work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a lot of that in Big Brother OTT because we had care packages every week.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of that. Okay, this isn't even my care package, but how can I try to make this help me in the game? So every day and every week is a new shuffle in there. But it's so much fun, and yet it's so much misery.
So you
but I really had a great time in Big Brother 17. I met some really great friends there,
mm-hmm.
and it's a summer to remember.
Mm-hmm. For sure. But you went in there, and you think you lost sight of everything, you think?
Yes, I think that in there I got wrapped up into that these are my friends, and I will be loyal to them.
Right.
But I also think that sometimes it's personality perception.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people that you can try to act like you're going to be friendly with. Like, I could tell Shelly all day, every day, that I'm going to be on her side.
Mm-hmm.
But personalities do realize if they're clicking or not, and
mm-hmm.
if they're forcing a click, or, you know, acting like we're clicking, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that sometimes it's sort of the cast you're with. Sometimes you can be, you know, the one everyone loves and thinks is so funny, or
mm-hmm.
you can be the one that everyone's like, Jason is annoying. So it's all really depending on who else you're there with. But that's why they find, like, whatever you don't want to be there with is
yeah.
who they got for you, honey.
So you were on the season you were just mentioning Shelly, and
yes.
she had a showmans with Clay Honeycutt.
Yes.
What were your thoughts about Clay Honeycutt? Spill some tea.
Clay Honeycutt is a good friend. He's always been a really nice guy. Him and Shelly were very nice together. I
mm-hmm.
think that they just didn't work out. It was with space, and, you know, obviously we do have, you know, one main thing going on in that house. But there's a lot of things going on in the rest of the world on the outside, so not everyone always has time to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the unfortunate thing about most of these Big Brother showmances is that, you know, when you take them out of the hamster cage and put them in the world with a million other guinea pigs and hamsters and rodents, are you going to come back to the same guinea pig, or do you have time, or are you at a photo shoot because you're Mr. Clay Honeycutt?
Yes.
You know, honey.
So what about... So season 17 ends.
Yes.
And then season 18 begins. And that
yes.
ends. And then all of a sudden, there you are, Jason Roy, at the finale of Big Brother 18.
I'm popping up like a bunny out of a magician's
You're
hat.
Popping up because you're going to be coming back potentially. There's a vote. You're going to be potentially coming back into the house for fall for Big Brother Over the Top, which is just strictly online. What was that like? What was the Big Brother Over the Top experience like for you?
It was very, for me, for someone who felt like they knew Big Brother so well,
mm-hmm.
here I was sort of on a new show or a spinoff, because we really
mm-hmm.
did have many, many things that were very different about our game. So our gameplay had to be adjusted, had
mm-hmm.
to be different, but it was sort of exciting. So you couldn't really say, well, this has been done before, or it's going to work like this, because we never really knew what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it was definitely stressful and exciting. Obviously, like I said, you have to weaponize whatever the twist may be, even
mm-hmm.
if you don't think it's that good. You're going to try your best. So I think Over the Top was a wonderful experience. I think that it's very cool that it was an online exclusive thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was really basically, you know, feeds-based.
Mm-hmm.
It was really interactive in that sense, that it wasn't so much about editing it into episodes. It was, you want to see the comp, then come on at 12 p.m. and you can watch all these little kids run around in the yard with chickens.
Exactly. It was
fun.
It,
I think that's very fun and interesting. And for me, a lot of, you know, their scaled down comp. We joked that it was BB budget, but it's one of those things where I almost appreciated the scaled down comp because I fell in love with this game, you know, back in 2002 and 2003 when they had scaled that comp.
For sure.
And it was very interesting to sort of see the glitz and the glamour of 17, but then also get to really play the game in a lot more comp in BBOTT, even if they are scaled down comp.
And you were and sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you, but you were the only you were the only returning house guest.
I was
on that version, and it was interesting because the first week you found yourself on the block.
Oh, honey.
What was it?
They wanted me out like the Blair Witch Project.
What was his name? Miles?
What? No, Monty.
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 And you went up to the HOH room when Monty won, when you guys let him have that first HOH, and you said to him, weaponize me.
Yes, I said, weaponize me. Here I am. We don't know. We didn't even know what the picks were yet at this point. We didn't know America was voting on anything.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, in that sense, he doesn't know that that's going to happen. But especially in the minute that that does happen, you have to know, okay, Jason, you know, might not, you know, when it all turns out, he might not have the biggest fan base, which obviously is what happened. But maybe I should use his fan base for now. He's at least going to have a built-in one for the first couple weeks or so. So I was just sort of saying, listen, this is what I didn't do in Big Brother 17. I know the reason I lost, because I wasn't making smart decisions for me. I was just thinking, oh, this is my group. We're going to roll like this. We're going to get everyone out except the people in our group, and da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
I wasn't willing to move and shake and bounce and say, you're my enemy today, but we're best friends tomorrow because we need each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was trying to explain to Monty. But obviously, you know, he's a new player who, you know, a lot of these you know, Monty's not a student of the show.
Right.
So he's there learning as he's playing, just like, you know, one of my best friends on the season, Justin, had no idea. I was explaining the game to him for like the first 3 weeks. He didn't even know what you could do with a veto. I was thinking, oh my God, here we go. This is going to be interesting.
Yes.
But yeah, you try to tell these people, you know, you can lead the dog to water, but you can't make them drink.
Yes.
And but, you know, it all worked out. And
you did. You saved you saved your ass winning the veto.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, sometimes it is that simple. And then everyone left me alone. You know, now they all say, oh, well, we were afraid about, you know, repercussions from America.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there were, you know, cornbread. Everyone says, why did America put up cornbread first? Well, cornbread really plotted to give me the crab. And then, you know, Monty was their next nominee.
Yeah.
So I think that I'm not one of these people that deny that, oh, like, America helped me any. But I also think that I played a strong, way stronger of a game than 17 because I wasn't there to waste an opportunity again.
Right.
Not that I feel like I completely wasted my 17 opportunity, but I just knew that I could never lose sight or focus that this was a game.
You learned from
that, Yeah, you learn from it, and you say, yes, I have enough Big Brother friends, honey. I got all these alumni. I got all you Canadians that I love. I got all these BB17 people. Sorry, OTT people. My contact list is full. So all y'all need to go home.
So personally, Jason Roy, I think you were robbed of winning Big Brother Over the Top. That's my take.
Well, thanks.
How do you, how are you, did you, have you made peace with that? What's your what's your take on your outcome of Big Brother Over the Top?
I am completely at peace with it. And I think it's easier for me to be, because if you're second place in a normal season and it comes down to the jury vote, you can really say, what more should I have said to maybe person A or person B or person C, or why didn't this one vote for me? Why didn't this one? I lost by however many, you know, 20,000 votes or something, which I guess is not a lot, although that sounds like, I don't know how many people watch an OTT. That sounds like a whole lot. But irregardless, it's one of those things where it's like, I can look back and say, Jason, yeah, you lost because, you know, you were cruel here, you weren't doing the right thing here, or you said the wrong thing, or look at you being problematic. But I accept all of me, and I am very just okay with all of that.
Yeah.
So you can't look back on it like, oh, crap, I should have been nicer to the jury, because there was no jury.
Right.
It was simply up to America, which sort of alleviates some of that.
So let's switch gears. Let's talk about Big Brother Canada 5. What are your thoughts?
Okay. I am loving Big Brother Canada 5. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I know so many of these alumni, and I consider a lot of them friends. So it's been stressful, honestly, to be watching, you know, my friends go at each other. I love Netta and Ika, especially.
What do you think of Ika's game this season?
I love Ika, personally. She's like my favorite person.
Yeah.
I roommated with her in Toronto. I love Ika.
Mm-hmm.
So I will always, regardless if she's playing the best game or not, I'm going to be like, Ika is playing the best game. But I think that she is the most improved. You know, Kevin already showed that he was a good game player in his season.
Mm-hmm.
And Ika really was manipulated in her season and gave us amazing moments. But, you know, she did what Rochelle and Sabrina wanted 1 week, and then Rochelle and Sabrina plotted her demise the very next week.
Yeah.
So I think that she was puppeted or used in her season, and it's great to see her in a strong power position. And honestly, when the season first started, I was so excited to see her and so excited to see all these alumni, but I thought, oh no, she's got a hard road ahead of her.
Mm-hmm.
These people are going to try to get her out like third evictee again. Like, we got problems, y'all. And I'm loving seeing the, like, Black Widow spider queen that she's turned into, and that she is actually, like, the female alpha male that has actually moved most of the chess pieces around.
Yes.
I'm loving it.
Very much so. Very much so. Who do you think will win Big Brother Canada 5, Jason? Make a prediction.
I think Dimitris is going to win. I think that,
and well deserved. Well deserved.
Yeah, it would be a well deserved. I think that we might come down to a Dimitris William final two. Even though I was calling a Jackie William final two for a long time now, even though Jackie just puts me to sleep. But it's still one of those things where I feel like Dimitris is good at a lot of these comps and. Even these memory ones, and I think that Ika will probably get picked off a little bit farther down the line, if not this week. Hopefully not this week, BB God, hear me now. But I think that he's going to be able to get down there at least into a final three spot.
Right.
And then nobody could really begrudge him for how he's played the game.
Right. Jason Roy, thank you so much for your time and being on the show.
No problem.
You have yourself a great time in California.
Thank you, I will. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. You take care.
Have a good night.
Hi, I'm Mayor John Tory, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
Wasn't that fun? Jason Roy from Big Brother 17 and Big Brother Over the Top. I think it's time we have some music. What do you say?
With no rhythm and losing our direction. what you've got is good as gold.
I think you know.
Care what you say, I am beautiful. So what, I'm different, I'm still beautiful. You can't bring me down, I am beautiful. Got to be myself, and I'm beautiful. Don't care what you say, I am beautiful. So what, I'm different, I'm still beautiful. You can't bring me down, I am beautiful. Got to be myself, and I'm beautiful. Me cry,
I am beautiful.
Go ahead and stare,
I'm still beautiful.
You can't make me doubt
that I'm beautiful.
Got to be myself,
and I'm beautiful.
You can't make me cry,
I am beautiful.
Go ahead and stare,
I'm still beautiful.
You can't make me doubt
that I'm beautiful.
Got to be myself,
and I'm beautiful.
Thank you.
an ocean far for you. But who gives a shit but what people think? 'Cause every little thing you do, the way you said, hey, are you down for a drink? So come over tonight if that's okay. We got things to worry about. I just need you here for now. So come over tonight if that's okay. We can try and take it slow. Promise me you'll stick around. Let me love you. Bring your body close to mine. Hold me and just breathe me and make me alive. Let me love ya, bring your body close to mine. Hold me and just breathe me and make me alive. You know that I believed in you when I tried to run my fingers down on your spine. And maybe I don't see this through, but I'm so fucked up. Convince me I don't need anybody else at all. So come over tonight if that's okay. We got things to worry about. I just need you here for now. So come for tonight if that's okay. We can try and take it slow. Promise me you'll stick around. Let me love ya. Bring your body close to mine. Hold me and just breathe me and make me alive. Let me love ya, bring your body close to mine. Hold me and just breathe me and make me alive.
Listening to CIUT 89.5 FM, and this is the station's gay radio show, Rainbow Country, and I'm your host, Mark Tara, your little gay host. How you doing? So, in that set, we heard basically music from around the world, starting off here from Toronto, Canada. We heard Roy DeVos. We heard Deeper. We also heard from Africa, Rizzy Tamane. Beautiful. Trans recording artist Rizzy Tamane. And we also heard from Malaysia, a Malaysian recording artist, Alex TBH, with Alive. It's kind of cool to have music from around the world, I think, being represented from recording artists, LGBT recording artists. Kind of cool. Thanks to CIUT. Thanks to this platform. So, like I said, let's get social. Let's get interactive. On Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, at Mark Tara Music. If you're a recording artist, get in touch with me, especially if you're an LGBT recording artist, and I will feature your music. No problem. Send me an email, mark@marktara.com, if you want to be on the show, or, like I said, if you are an artist of some sort. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes as well as on podomatic.com, And thanks to you, on Podomatic's gay and lesbian chart, Rainbow Country is in the top 5. Thanks to you. And again, everything is hooked up at my website, marktara.com. Next week is my fall membership. Not fall, spring. Why do I have fall on the mind? No, I want spring on the mind. My spring membership drive is next Tuesday. So I hope you'll tune in. Go to ciut.fm to make a donation. Again, donations of $25 or more, you automatically get a charity tax receipt. Finally, I want to take this time to thank you for taking your time to be with me. Remember, we live in days of making dreams come true. So believe in yourself, and the world will believe in you. Taking us out, Gender Fix, featuring Kate Ashley, Getaway Car.
Hey, this is Paul Bellini, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 on your FM dial.